This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington, and welcome to the Bloomington Review on Friday, October 23rd. Or, if you're catching the replay of the show, Saturday morning on the 24th, glad you're tuned in here to WGCL and WGCLradio.com for full show Friday if you're catching the live show. Tonight we've got Edgewood versus Evansville Harrison right here on WGCL. We'll have Chalk Talk immediately at the top of 7 o'clock tonight, and then the kickoff there at 7:30, and I will hopefully be cheering for a victory. I shouldn't say hopefully. I will be cheering for a victory for my good old alma mater, Edgewood and the Mighty Mustangs. So best of luck to them. They've had a rough season, and it would be nice to see them come out with something good here in the sectionals tournament this weekend against Evansville. So if you're catching Saturday morning, you'll hopefully know the score of the game, and hopefully the Edgewood came up on that one with a win. Glad you're joining us, though, tonight. I should say joining me. Mr. Pillar is out. He has had a heck of a week in a good way, almost a good way, I should say that as well. I'm doing a lot of corrections already in the first 90 seconds of the show. He's had a good week and lots of things going on at his school, Jackson Creek Middle School, and things. But, you know, if you've been listening for a long time, you know that Mr. Pillar is a diehard, and I mean ultimate diehard, shaves the C into his chest hair kind of guy, Cubs fan. And unfortunately, the Cubs lost when they were making their way towards the World Series after four games, four straight losses. But man, they put on a heck of a season this year. And as we talked about last week here on the show, jumped on the bandwagon. I fully admit that I was one of those people who is a casual observer and definitely jumped on with Kyle Schwarber being an IU, former IU Hoosier on the baseball field, and just all of that tied in. Plus, you know, you root for the underdog, and you want the Cubs to do well, and especially when you have Back to the Future Week, which we experienced on Wednesday, 10-21-15. That was the day Doc Brown, Marty McFly headed off into the future. They came yesterday. So if you didn't see them anywhere around Bloomington, maybe they were at the mall. Maybe they were trying to find a lightning strike time to get back in time, as Huey Lewis sang in the movie. My friend Jared Thompson from the Comedy Attic did some MC work for the Back to the Back to the Back of the Back. Let's start again. The Back to the Back to the Back to the Future marathon that took place out at IU Cinema this week. And his wife and some other folks, I'm not exactly sure who all were involved, got a DeLorean to pick him up and drive him around a little bit. Jared is a huge fan of Back to the Future. And if you ever get to Comedy Attic and see him there, make sure that you ask him about the experience of driving around in the DeLorean for the Back to the Future day. And it was all over social media. USA Today did a big thing because, of course, they were profiled in 1985 in the movie. They had the cover or the front page of USA Today was all science-y and everything, and talked about Queen Diana, Princess Diana, who unfortunately is no longer with us. A lot of different things. In fact, I'm getting into the weeds a little bit here, but apparently even the character Biff in Back to the Future, the guy who steals the sports book and makes all the bets and makes all the money and everything, he was modeled after a presidential contendee this election season. He was modeled after Donald Trump. If you look at a photo of Biff and you look at a photo of Donald Trump, all I'm saying is there might be a few similarities. But anyway, glad you're here. I'm going to get off the Back to the Future subject now because we have a great guest coming on in just a little bit. Jenny Ritchie is part of the Bloomington Storytellers Guild. And next Friday, put this on your calendars, please. After you catch the Bloomington Review or drive while you're listening to the Bloomington Review next Friday, you're going to be wanting to go to Bryan Park for the Festival of Ghost Stories. It's a free event. This is not for little kids, as Jenny will explain in just a little bit. This is more of an adult entertainment because these are legitimate spooky stories. This is theater of the mind. This is going to kind of rivet you a little bit. Both Mr. Pillar and I had a lot of positive feedback from last week's show with Matt Sheehan and talking about Step Cemetery. And let's be honest, who doesn't love a good scare? I mean, yeah, there are people, I should say. But even still, this, I promise you, Jenny will bring the best out here in just a little bit. So make sure that you stick with us for the full hour and enjoy her information about the Festival of Ghost Stories. And again, we'll put all of that up on our Facebook page as well as on the WGCL radio website. But she's actually going to tell a story as well, a local story. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. We're going to take a break, though. When we come back, we'll get into some local news. Crazy stuff out of Bloomington making national news this week when a Muslim woman was attacked in front of her 9-year-old daughter at a local Bloomington restaurant. We'll talk a little bit about what the latest is on that. RBB approved their budget this week. MCCSC has drafted 3 potential calendars for the upcoming year, so we'll get a little bit into that. I wish Mr. Pillar was here to give his insight, but we'll touch on that as well. Plus, just a lot of things as well. We'll get into sports. Of course, Hoosier Hysteria is this Saturday evening, and so you'll want to check that out. There's even going to be a virtual reality experience to experience while you are at Hoosier Hysteria as well. And last but definitely not least, we want to make sure that we have a couple minutes at the end, but mentioning it now as well. Saturday morning, 8:30 is the annual Breast Cancer Awareness Walk taking place downtown. You will find the crowd at 8:30 down near the Showers Complex around the Farmers Market. Look for the pink shirts. That's all you need to do. They will gladly welcome folks up the minute before the walk. So if you haven't been able to participate and you're catching it Friday night, get up early Saturday morning, head downtown. And it's just a little over a mile walk and a great experience for a wonderful cause because it does impact so many people. Even if it's not you, it is someone in your family, someone in your friend's family, someone that you know has been impacted by breast cancer. And so that's coming up on Saturday morning. We're going to take a break, come back with your forecast and the local news. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here on your Friday night. Glad you're joining us. And we will have a wonderful guest in just a few minutes, Jenny Ritchie from the Bloomington Storytellers Guild, talking about the Festival of Ghost Stories taking place next Friday, October 30th, 7 o'clock at Bryan Park downtown. And we'll give you all the details here in just a few minutes. Your forecast, though, for the weekend is much nicer than what we reported last week. Tonight, Friday night, a 50% chance of showers, mainly after 11, but cloudy with a low around 61. Tomorrow, Saturday, showers are likely and a cloudy with a high near 71. I'm looking a little bit windy as well and about a 70% chance of rain throughout the day. And then on Saturday night, 30% chance of showers before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 47. Sunday, sunny, high near 64. So it is about the time when if you need to wash your car and really give it one last good fall scrubbing before the cold weather kicks in and it makes it more challenging to wash your vehicle, Sunday might be the day to do it. That's all I'm going to say. All your weather all the time right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLradio.com. Oh, buddy, we made national news in Bloomington this week, and definitely for not a good thing. From the Herald Times, Bloomington police have arrested a 19-year-old Bloomington man on charges of assaulting a Muslim woman in what witnesses described as racially motivated attack. On Saturday last week at approximately 7:35 p.m., officers were dispatched to Sofra Cafe, which is on South Walnut Street. A 47-year-old Muslim woman was sitting at a table with her 9-year-old daughter when IU student, and I should say former now, Tristan Bickford, began shouting racial slurs at the woman. And according to the police report, after verbally intimidating the woman, Bickford walked up to her, grabbed her by the neck, forced her head towards the table, restricting her breathing and her airflow as he attempted to remove her headscarf. A male passerby, an IU student whose name escapes me at the moment, but I'll get it here for you, and the woman's husband, who had been inside the restaurant, intervened, and both men were successful in pulling Bickford off the woman and restraining him on the sidewalk until Bloomington police arrived. Then he gets even more crazy. Bickford spits in the husband's face, as well as on a male bystander who was assisting. And when he was placed in a police vehicle, he attempted to kick out the windows of the patrol car. And when he arrived at Monroe County Jail at 7:54, he bit an officer in the leg. His blood alcohol count was 0.195. Oh, brother, dude, why would you do this? Come on, you are... The woman was interviewed by the Herald Times later in the week, and she requested that both her name and occupation be withheld from the story for safety reasons. And she spoke about being able to forgive the young man, saying her anger is gone, but that her 9-year-old daughter who witnessed everything is still struggling with all of this. Granted, it's still in the first week and still very close to home. And granted, it was a terrible thing for this man to do to this woman and to this family. The woman is from Turkey, I believe, is what I understood from the article. At least her family is from Turkey, and she has been in the United States for 18 years. Her poor daughter, though, 9 years old, has really been struggling with all of this and didn't go to school the first Monday after this happened, this past Monday. But things are starting to lighten up a little bit for this young woman. And there's been a lot of outreach from the community as well about just the entire incident and how disturbing it is and how this is not an example of an Indiana University student and their relationships with multicultures on all different levels, just walking down the street. I mean, come on now. Daniel Boyes, if I'm pronouncing his right, was the young man from Indiana University, who stepped up to the plate and helped along with this woman's husband to take care of Mr. Bickford and take care of the situation. And for that, I applaud him and all the best to this woman, and did not deserve this situation at all. Also on the local scene, a field trip to Marengo Cave didn't go as planned for 11 Harmony school students when their bus blew a tire and overturned in Lawrence County on Tuesday morning. The Lawrence County Police received several 911 calls a little before 10 a.m. after the crash that the bus had when it turned onto its side south of Wesley Chapel Road, and that's between Bedford and Mitchell, according to the Times Mail. Fortunately, no students were seriously injured. Obviously, a shock to them. Four students were taken to St. Vincent Dunn Hospital in Bedford, and seven students were taken to Indiana University Health Bedford Hospital, all between the ages of 14 and 15. And the driver was not injured as well, and at about 12:30, the parents were meeting students at the hospitals to pick them up. The Harmony school bus, as I mentioned, was southbound on Highway 37. Tire blew caused the bus to go into the median and turn on its side and slide partially into the northbound lanes. And witnesses confirmed the tire failure as well, and a quick cleanup there. So thankful for all of that, for those little kids and for the school bus driver there. Have you heard of this scam going around about weird calls and people's homes being up for rent? From Fox 59, the Attorney General's office wants to make Indiana residents and anybody who's thinking about moving to Indiana aware of a new scam that's going around. Scammers are trying to rent out homes and apartments, at least in Monroe County, from what they're hearing so far. But the deal, of course, is too good to be true, because it's not true. Last week, a woman, Sharon Beekman, received a weird phone call, she told Fox 59, from someone wanting to rent her home. But she doesn't own a home. She lives in a Bloomington assisted living facility. The woman on the phone told her that she saw a two-bedroom home on a website called housesforrent.ws. Not .com, not .org, not .net, housesforrent.ws. The ad had Beekman's name and email address listed as the contact. The woman on the phone found Beekman's phone number through the website, called her because she suspected something wasn't right. The woman had been told that as soon as she sent a check to the people at this Houses for Rent website, they would send her keys to the house. The Attorney General's office reminds everyone never to wire anyone money, never send money without signing a contract, and never pay for something, especially a rental property, without seeing the property first. Quickly through here, in a unanimous vote, the Richland Bean Blossom Community School Corporation approved its 2016 budget, totaling almost $28 million at a meeting this week. The school board also found out that teachers and students who have been part of the district's Google Chromebooks pilot program seem to favor the devices over iPads. The 2016 district budget has increased by about $2.2 million this year, and the higher figure is due to increases in the general fund, capital projects, and transportation funds. Former guest here on the show, Superintendent Mike Wilcox, explained to the five-member board that the general and transportation funds were higher this year because more students were transferring into the district, and per-pupil revenues from the state had gone up because kindergartners are being fully funded. RBB received only half funding for kindergarten students previously, and the district receives about $5,300 per person. Also at the meeting, another guest of our show, RBB Assistant Superintendent Jason Blitzinger, reported that a survey of the 8 secondary education teachers across several subjects showed that many prefer Google Chromebooks over iPads. And with the 3-year iPad leasing expiring, RBB may switch to a new device in the 2016-17 school year, but no official decisions about that have been made. There's some other news. We mentioned the MCCSC calendar for the next 3 years, and we will put that up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. So that way, if you want to check out those three options and what's looking up for the next few years, that will be available. And then hopefully Mr. Pillar will be back next week. This is not a These are drafts. These are not official documents yet. Nothing has been approved. So hang tight. Don't get anything out there just yet. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, Jenny Ritchie is going to join us with some wonderful stuff about next Friday evening's Festival of Ghost Stories. And then we'll get into her story that you definitely don't want to miss. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio, along with a first-time guest to the show, Jenny Ritchie, who is part of the upcoming Festival of Ghost Stories at Bryan Park. Welcome to the show, Jenny. Nice to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Are you a storyteller? I take that as a yes.
I would say so. I've been telling stories since about 1969, so I've been telling stories for a long time.
There's always truth to every story that you tell also, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to have someone on, and I'm so glad that you were able to come in and join us to talk about the Festival of Ghost Stories that's going to be taking place next weekend, Friday, October 30th, 7 o'clock, Bryan Park. Don't worry if you're driving. We will put all the details up on our Facebook page, and we'll put them up on the WGCL website as well. But this is a wonderful event for the community, and especially if you want a good ghost, and I mean a true ghost story.
Ghost story.
How long have you been involved with this?
Since 1974.
My goodness.
But the first, the actual first festival, I think, was in 75.
Okay.
So we've been doing this for a long time, but we didn't start going out to the park at first. But the park is an incredible environment for telling stories. It's dark out there. You know, we're on the Woodlawn side of Bryan Park.
Mm-hmm.
Audience comes in and sits on the dark hillside. And there's a stage.
Sure.
So you can see the storytellers. Mm-hmm. But still, there's something about listening to a spooky story in the dark.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sets the atmosphere.
And we are going to tap into Jenny's talents in just a little bit. When we come back from the break, she's going to share a, do we call it a ghost story? What you're going to share with us
I
in a few minutes?
I think ghost story is the generic term for all sorts of spooky, scary, supernatural, unexplained, happening sorts of stories that there are out there.
Okay, great. Well, let's talk a little bit about this event, first of all. Is this something for all ages, would you say?
No.
Okay.
No, I think there is content that might be disturbing to a younger person. I think that there is a listening situation that's challenging for a younger person as well,
mm-hmm.
in that the stories are longer and darker and take a little more understanding.
Sure.
And besides, you know, think about that nightmare that everybody has where you're running as hard as you can and something is chasing you. Something horrible, and you just know it's going to get you. And you can't
run faster.
Uh-huh. You can't go faster. You know, that's the sort of feeling that we're aiming at with these stories.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to leave the little kids at home next Friday
that's
evening
right.
for this. It is in Bryan Park, and we are going to cross our fingers and all the good wishes for good weather, cool weather, but bring chairs, blankets, all of that, and it's definitely a listening experience, as you mentioned.
Yes. We have a number of storytellers, so it's not just one voice. You're going to hear some stories told with music. You're going to hear some stories told with different voices from different cultures. It's going to be a variety of stories to listen to.
Are the storytellers auditioned, or how do you and the crew find these folks?
The Bloomington Storytellers Guild is an organization of people who tell stories, obviously, and people who are interested in storytelling. And I do mean the traditional folklore, passing on of the oral tradition type of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
We also, of course, sometimes Dune personal narratives or literary tales, but primarily you're looking at folklore, the kind of thing that people tell around campfires or that you've heard at sleepovers in the dark. We're talking about the traditional storytelling, and these are people who are practiced in doing that.
Are all of your speakers from the Monroe County area, or do you get people from Indianapolis or across the Midwest? Or
we have in the past, but this year it turns out that we're all from Monroe County.
Okay. So if someone who is going for the first time, 7 o'clock, they arrive, what would they expect for the next 90 minutes or so on next Friday evening?
Yeah, they should have a warm blanket, something to sit on, maybe a little flask of something to drink, warm cider, I'm thinking.
Absolutely.
And they should expect something that will make them shiver, make them giggle, mm-hmm. make them maybe... Well, you know what happens when you're listening to a quiet story and somebody suddenly says, boo! Mm-hmm. Everybody jumps. Well, yeah, I can expect a little bit of that. They can expect a pioneer story of which the notions of witchcraft that came across with the settlers are reinterpreted.
Mm-hmm.
They can expect modern stories that somebody's mother had actually happened to her high school friend. They can expect a really disturbing story about what happens when you lose someone too young, too soon. There are all sorts of stories coming up.
Okay.
And in between them, they can expect some music that sets the atmosphere and maybe even tells the story itself.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. We're talking with Jenny Ritchie, who is part of the Bloomington Storytellers Guild. We're talking about the Festival of Ghost Stories, which is taking place next Friday, October 30th, in the evening, 7 o'clock. If the weather's looking a little bit inclement, check with the Monroe County Public Library, because that is going to be the alternate venue if there is a weather issue. And you can go to their website and or give them a call and get the updates if you need anything for that. Do you, when you hear ghost stories as a storyteller, how do you capture them in your mind to convey them to someone else the next time? How do you know at the end of hearing a great story that you wish you'd paid more attention at the beginning, I guess is what I'm asking? Because so many of these probably are not written down because they're storytelling as opposed to writing, so to speak. Correct? I'm assuming.
That is, for some stories, that is very true. In fact, the one I'm going to share with you is exactly that kind of a story.
Okay.
But in general, people have collected these stories and they have written them down. You have only to think of probably the most famous ghost story collection there is, and that's Alvin Schwartz's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, and Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark 2 and 3, to know that there's the essence of a story there, but every teller tells a story differently, and the story changes with the teller, and the teller changes with the audience, and so you can listen to a story, but when you retell that story, it's not the same story you heard. It's your story.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Jenny is going to share a story with us from not too far away from Bloomington, Indiana. And I'm excited. So if you're home, get ready to turn the lights down a little bit, huddle up, and enjoy a very spooky ghost story when we come back here on the Bloomington Review. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Enman here, along with Jenny Ritchie from the Bloomington Storytellers Guild, and we are going to be talking about the Festival of Ghost Stories next weekend, and Jenny's going to share one with us. Is this one you will be doing next week?
No.
Okay.
This is one I did some time ago, and I've done it frequently,
mm-hmm.
because it's a little different from most of the stories I tell. I had been working my way through a book called Haunted Hoosier Trails, and this is a guide to Indiana's spooky sites,
mm-hmm.
and for every county in Indiana, there's a place you can go. Well, I went to Evansville, to the Willard Library, and I had been telling the story all over about the gray lady of the Willard Library, my favorite haunted library story, and I'd told it in Bedford. After I finished, a woman came up and said, "Well, you should tell about the Tunnelton Tunnel." Well, I'd heard about the Tunnelton Tunnel. I knew it was an attraction down there. Actually, not in Bedford. It's southeast of Bedford, down below Buda. Mm-hmm. And I knew that Tunnelton was actually a work camp for the construction of the tunnels, and I'd heard that the tunnel was long and bent in the middle, and I'd heard about the Devil's Backbone, the hills that that's what they call the hills that the tunnel goes through. I didn't know a story from them. She said, "Well, I'll tell you what happened to me. And I am sorry that I do not know her name. If anyone listening to this finds this a familiar story and you want to let me know the name of the person who told me the story, I would love it."
Okay.
Here's what she said. She said when she was a girl, there wasn't much to do when you went dating on a Saturday afternoon, but she told me something about the Tunnelton Tunnel I didn't know, and that was a place to go when you were a teen. And she said that she had never been there until she was a junior in high school, and she got a boyfriend who said he would take her down to the tunnel because he was going to meet some friends down there, and she thought that would be an adventure, plus a chance to go out in his automobile for a ride. And so they drove down from Bedford, down along the White River, past Buda and Tunnelton, and they parked there on that gravel road and went up the hill and down the tracks to the Big Tunnel. It actually says that. It's carved in stone over the entrance. Big Tunnel. And it was bigger than she thought it would be. And they were there, and no one else was there. I guess they'd gotten there before the friends arrived. And so her boyfriend said, "Well, let's walk through the tunnel to the other end and back while we wait for them to come, since you've never been here before." She thought, "Oh, that's an adventure." And they stepped into the tunnel. Now, at the beginning of the tunnel, the sunlight was coming in bright and clear. And when she looked beyond the sunlight, though, it was like the world just ended. There was nothing. It was dark. It was totally blank on the other side of that sunshine. So they walked on. And when they stepped out of the sunshine into the dark part, she realized how cold it had gotten all of a sudden. And the farther into the darkness they went, the colder it got. And it was that wet, damp cold that you get in caves down underground. And not only was it cold and damp, it was quiet. It was like their ears had been muffled because they were so deep in the ground, and they couldn't hear anything from outside, just the crunch of their feet on the cinders in between the ties. And it was getting darker in there. And she looked back over her shoulder, and way behind them, she could see the entrance they'd come in. It was still bright, but it got smaller and smaller the deeper they went. And then as they went around the bend, it was completely dark. They couldn't see in front of them. They couldn't see anything behind them. She couldn't see where she was putting her feet. She was holding on to his hand for all she was worth, which was probably what he had in mind anyway. And they were feeling their way from tie to tie with their feet. And she kept looking. She couldn't believe she couldn't see anything. She couldn't believe that it was this dark. It was so dark. It was so cold. It was so damp. She started to shiver. She started to think, this is what it's like to be dead. And she shivered so hard that he turned and put his arms around her to warm her up, and she looked over his shoulder, and there was a light behind them, the way they'd come. It was coming towards them. And she thought, well, there's one of his friends. But when he looked, he said, no, that's not a flashlight. That's some sort of a lantern. That's like one of those old railroad lanterns. And they both remembered the story that people tell about the Tunnelton Tunnel. How they'd had watchmen in there at the beginning to watch for rocks that would fall off of the roof onto the tracks, and how there had been a watchman who had gotten caught in the middle of the tunnel when an unscheduled train came through. how his body had been found decapitated, with his hand still holding a lit lantern, and his head beyond retrieving. And suddenly, they both did not want to be there anymore. If that was a headless spook coming towards them, they didn't really want to meet him. And so they turned and started going as fast as they could towards the east entrance to the tunnel, still feeling their way, but picking up the pace a little. And every time she looked over her shoulder, there was the light coming towards them closer and closer. And then ahead of them, way in the distance, there was the light at the end of the tunnel. And now they really picked up the pace. But even though they were practically jogging, the light was keeping pace behind them. And then the rails began to hum. You know how rails vibrate when a train is coming? A train? She thought the tunnel was abandoned. There was a train coming. They flew. They sprinted. She said she'd never run faster before, and she never ran faster since. They burst out of the entrance. They flung themselves up the hill to the side. They grabbed a hold of the little saplings to pull themselves up just as the engine came roaring out of that entrance. It was huge. It was loud. You couldn't hear anything else but the train, and it went on forever. And you know, when a train goes through a tunnel, it creates a vacuum, and the wind gets sucked back in the tunnel, and they could feel that wind pulling them towards the track and the wheels. If they hadn't held on tight, she said, to those trees, they would have been pulled right under. And they wouldn't have had a chance if they'd been in the tunnel. After a while, the train had gone, and the tracks were quiet again. After a while, they started thinking they had to walk back through that tunnel. There were two options. One was they'd really seen a 100-year-old ghost, and it was still in the tunnel. The other one was they'd seen a live, living person, and that person had gotten caught in the tunnel when the train came through, and they didn't know which they'd rather meet, a recently living run-over body or an old ghost. But they still had to walk through the tunnel, and I'm telling you, they walked carefully, they looked around, they hung on to each other, and they made it to the other end without seeing either a ghost or a body. When they came out, well, her boyfriend's buddies were sitting on the wall up above the opening to the tunnel, and they yelled down, "Hey, were you all in that tunnel when the train came through?" Well, nobody'd come out that end. Nobody'd come out the other end. There wasn't a body in the tunnel, she said, so we did see a ghost. And wasn't it a good thing? She said, if we hadn't seen that light, if we hadn't started making for the tunnel entrance as soon as we saw it, why, we would have been caught there in the middle of the tunnel, and we wouldn't have had a chance. I wouldn't be here telling you this story, she said, if that hadn't happened. She was so convinced of that ghost that I tell you, I believe it too. And I've got to say, wouldn't you rather have the ghost of a watchman who's still on the job haunting your tunnel than any other kind of ghost? I mean, really. Still on the job, keeping the tracks safe.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Jenny Ritchie's been our guest. Festival of Ghost Stories, next Friday evening, 7 o'clock, Bryan Park. You will be there, I assume. And you'll be one of the storytellers?
I will be one of the storytellers.
May I ask just the title and or topic of your story next week?
Well, let's just say that everybody that dies doesn't stay dead.
That is a great way to end it at this point. Jenny Ritchie, wonderful job. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing the Tunnelton Tunnel story. I will have to tell my friends who live in Tunnelton to look for the watchman when they go out walking. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review, and thanks again to Jenny Ritchie for that wonderful, wonderful story. If you missed it Friday night, any part of it, Saturday morning it'll be available. And if it's Saturday morning and you missed any part of it, by noon, check WGCLradio.com, and it should be right there on the homepage for you. And yeah, it's awesome. Love that stuff. Absolutely love that stuff. Friday night, though, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, it is high school football sectionals time. Edgewood, the Mighty Mustangs, are competing against Evansville Harrison, excuse me. And just a few minutes at 7 o'clock p.m. on Friday night, Chalk Talk with Joe Smith will be here on the show. And then at 7:30 is the kickoff for that game. So tune in as the Mighty Mustangs compete against Evansville Harrison. And the reason I'm saying compete is I really don't know where exactly they're going to be playing at, and I know Joe's going to have that in just a few minutes. There's been all this talk of all these different games going on in different places and crazy locations for scheduling and things like that. I think Glass said earlier this week that there's a game between Center Grove and Blooming. I don't know, but they're down in Evansville, and it's just crazy. So anyway, 7 o'clock, tune in for all of that. So, did you watch the Colts game against New England? Because, obviously, it was a big deal for a number of reasons. Number one, of course, Deflategate. Number two, it's Tom Brady. And most people in the state of Indiana don't really have a lot of affection for Tom Brady. Tough loss for the Colts, but the biggest thing was, though, the play at the end. Chuck Pagano has taken ownership of it and made the call, and they have tried to explain what their thinking was and all of that. I can't even explain it at this point. It's been replayed over so many times. It's been memed. It has been converted into a video game play that looks like it's from 1987. So whatever the case may be, it was a bad mistake. And I don't think anyone is disagreeing about that. So hopefully Sunday here on WGCL, you can hear a win for the Indianapolis Colts as they welcome the New Orleans Saints to Indianapolis and Lucas Oil Stadium. Kickoff for that game, I think, tune in at 1 o'clock. I don't know if how much pregame is before that, but 1 o'clock here on WGCL Sunday for the Colts game. Then also on Sunday at 7:30, we've got the Eagles at the Panthers for your more of your NFL experience. Monday Night Football, 7:45 p.m., the Ravens take on the Cardinals. And Thursday Night Football, October 29th at 8 o'clock, the Dolphins at the Patriots. All of that and more schedule is available at WGCLradio.com. Click on the sports link and all of the detail will be there for you. Of course, we've got every Colts game here. We've got plenty of Colts or NFL action as well throughout the season. Your high school football is going to continue on Friday nights, and we'll go all the way to the Super Bowl in February. So anytime you need information about football, head over to WGCLradio.com. IU football. Chuck Crabb was on this morning with Mike Glascott talking about all of that. Rough loss last weekend against Rutgers. It was homecoming here in Bloomington, a 55-52 defeat after a 25-point lead for the Hoosiers. So hopefully, but I'm not making any promises. Let's just be honest. This weekend, they are headed up to Michigan State. They are 7-0. We are 4-3 right now. It's a 3:30 kick up in Michigan, so we're just going to cross our fingers and hope for the best. And then Iowa comes to Bloomington the first Saturday in November, Saturday the 7th. This weekend, though, with the football team out of town, it is Hoosier Hysteria, Saturday night, October 24th. Details at iuhoosiers.com, as Chuck mentions. They're going to have a streamed virtual reality experience available for attendees. It's presented by Smithville Fiber, and it sounds pretty awesome. It's in the Mark Cuban Center for Sports, Media, and Technology, and what they're going to be doing is having a Big Look 360, which I believe is Cuban's company. People can come and get the entire experience as if they were on the court. It's all these different cameras, 360 angles, all these different things, more than my programmable VCR mind can wrap it around. So anyway, if you're headed to Hoosier Hysteria, of course, bring your canned goods, bring your food, bring your money for canned goods and food to donate. It is a wonderful cause. There's no cost to get into this, and it is a wonderful experience. So do the right thing. get some stuff out of your pantry, bring that with you to Hoosier Hysteria tonight, on Saturday night. Enjoy the experience and support a wonderful cause here in Bloomington. Quickly, though, before we have to wrap up the segment and head out, Indiana Pacers start up next week on the 28th against the Raptors. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, the Cubs are out for the World Series after a 0-4 run against the New York Mets. But, man, they've got a lot of young guys. The guys have tasted it, the experience. They are ready to chomp at the bit and make it happen next year. So we're not eliminating the Cubs next season by a long shot. Stay with me. We'll wrap up the show in just a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Just a couple minutes left in the show. Thanks again to Jenny Ritchie for being part of the program. We'll put all of the details up about the Festival of Ghost Stories and more at facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview and also wgclradio.com on our podcast page. That will be up by noon on Saturday. Your forecast for the weekend is looking a little bit damp, but a little bit warmer than last weekend. 50% chance of showers on Friday night, mostly after 11 p.m. Cloudy with a low around 61. On Saturday, showers likely again, chance about 70% with a high near 71. Saturday night, 30% chance of showers before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy, low around 47. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 64. Now, of course, all your weather all the time right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Hoosier Hysteria, Saturday night. Doors open at 5 p.m., and there is always a line to get in. And especially with all the construction going on at Assembly Hall, get there a little bit early and mingle and hang out with friends and all that good stuff. You never know who might be working the lines and all of that. But it is a wonderful event. IU graduate and co-anchor of E! News Weekend, Kat Sadler, is going to be the host. And as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, bring your canned food items for the Hoosier Hills Food Bank. There's going to be all kinds of fun stuff, and it's a free event. Bring the kids. It will be a good time. Saturday also is IU Science Fest, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's at Jordan Hall. Measuring brain waves, experimenting with bacteria, color changes and chemical reactions, and more. A lot of fun stuff for kids. So check that out at Jordan Hall from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. And Saturday night, 7 o'clock, IU Men's Soccer will be playing against Michigan here in Bloomington at Bill Armstrong Stadium. $3 tickets for that. And before I run out of time, I don't want to forget this again. The Bloomington Breast Cancer Awareness Walk taking place Saturday morning at 8:30 at City Hall, right there by the Farmers Market, 401 North Morton Street. It's the 18th annual Breast Cancer Awareness Walk. It's a free event. Of course, they would love to have you register. They've got t-shirts and things like that to give out and give away. So because it has impacted so many people, take the opportunity to go and support these women who have been involved, and the men as well, and show your support on Saturday morning, 8:30. Get there a little bit before. Put some coins in the parking meter, because then you can go enjoy the farmer's market afterwards. It's only a mile or so walk. It's nothing too strenuous or anything, so make sure that you check that out. Hopefully next week we'll have a little bit more on the ghost story scene, and Mr. Pillar can be back to join us as well. But of course, facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview and wgclradio.com. Like us, follow us, tweet us, let us know what's going on. We love the feedback and love to hear from everybody as well. And everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe and dry. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.